This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Good morning, NoCo. You don't think so? We're already disagreeing about our movie review for Friday.
Our movie for Friday, and your assignment is to watch Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart story with Jerry Seinfeld, Hugh Grant, Jim Gaffigan, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, and what's the other gal's name? Can't state her.
Amy Schumer?
Yeah, did you say that already?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're just taking a stance based off of no knowledge.
I've seen the previews.
I loved the previews. I was very happy this was the movie that you picked. Was very happy about it.
Yeah, Susan watched it. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a watch. It's for
sure.
Okay,
well, I think early preliminary feeling from you was this was crap. I look forward to watching it myself because what we find is more often than not, you and I are not on the same page when it comes to movies.
I was going
to
say the exact opposite. Which
really?
I feel like we've been pretty in sync with these the last three or four times in different movies that we've had. You know, obviously with the jingle all the way.
That goes back to the original.
The original
problem.
Disagreement.
Yes.
I thought this movie was complete garbage. It's almost so bad that you got to watch it. So there's, you know, you'll forget about what I said about the movie by Friday. Number one movie on Netflix right now, Unfrosted, with Jerry Seinfeld.
It will be huge. There are so many big names in this thing.
Yeah.
And it's about Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Greatest
a lot of other things
breakfast
in there.
Innovation ever.
It was just, dude. I don't want to get into it, but like if
is
I would have
like
been
an
rolling
acid
on
trip? Not that
yes.
you know that, but
if
that's
I,
what it,
if I would have been rolling on something, I'm sure I would have enjoyed it. Otherwise, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, Jerry Seinfeld, you're too old to be doing about a movie about Pop-Tarts. What are you doing?
Never too old for that. My goodness. It'll be interesting because I have a feeling it is going to be one of those movies that generates a couple of major different reactions.
Well, yeah, and they definitely threw in some political stuff in there, too, throughout. So there's some...
Oh, there's where you get rubbed wrong.
No, not really. It was just there. It just didn't make any sense. Okay, Unfrosted, Netflix, go watch it. Let us know on Friday what your thoughts are on it.
You have a whole week to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to take it a bite at a time, 30 minutes each day?
I would advise doing that.
Really?
I would advise doing that.
I cannot wait to get home and tune this on now today.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you. I don't. Normally, movies don't elicit this type of a response from
No,
me.
They don't. Because I threw this out yesterday. I said, this is what we're going to watch.
And I thought,
this should make everybody happy.
I thought it would, too. I was very happy about it based on the previews.
And then. Okay.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, I was reading one story that brought a smile to my face. I know this is something that has been talked about for a while. AM radio. Lawmakers are saying that it is going to be mandatory to continue to put AM radios in vehicles.
Now, this has been a fight that's been going on for a while. I've sat in on some of these hearings, on some of the Zoom. We're a member of the Colorado Broadcasters Association. And I just, wanted to represent, because AM radio, just radio as a whole, there's not a lot of locally owned places where we all wear these different hats, and how is this going to affect me on this when I've got this hat on or on this hat? And I've been Colorado Republicans and Democrats alike have been fighting the good fight for this. They've agreed on this because of this, the emergency, because people start saying, hey, you'll get a text. Well, what if I'm in the mountains and no service?
What if your battery's dead?
Exactly.
What if there's so many things that can happen. Your AM radio is going to be there. Yeah. We are going to be there for you.
Correct. Correct. And so it's you're seeing that it's sounding like this is going to go forward.
Yeah, it was. I mean, to me, I just couldn't imagine, you know, because I just think I have so many memories of this. And this is what we do for a living. I mean, this is our livelihood. And to think just because technology advances that you need to get rid of other things, man, this is where I'm so proud of what we do, because most of us grew up having live local radio. Most of us grew up where, oh, there's something happening on the west end of town. I wonder what it is. Where can you tune in anymore to find that out? You can find it out here, because we're here and we're live throughout from 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. And yeah, that sounds like for a lot of people, it's, well, wow, that's only, you know, this amount of hours and so forth. But when you look at
8 hours of live and local,
most of the radio stations anymore have zero or maybe a couple of hours.
Or they've got corporate funding. And at that point, they're not listening to the small guys. And that's the thing, too. You don't know how many times, hey, have you checked out this story? Like that I'll get, you know, messages on something, or I'll get a comment, and then I'll start digging in and say, okay, this needs to be brought to light. Let's have X, Y, or Z on. Super proud of what we do here.
Yes. We're one of the few that still do it the way that radio was intended to do. And I am very, very proud of that. Where else are you going to get, like, we get to sit and talk about things that matter in our community.
Yeah.
Where in corporate radio anymore, there is no community.
No.
That they took it right out of it. So I am thrilled that this is going to happen and keep putting the radios in the vehicle.
Yeah, and if you do get, that is the one text that I've responded to is like, you know, help us do this, X, Y, or Z. There's a website. I don't have it pulled up right in front of me, but we can certainly share that. If you would, if you enjoyed listening to us every single day, we would appreciate that. And we're advanced enough, you can listen to us on your smartphone and smart device as well.
But we're not forgetting the technology. We want to be a part of that too, but we want to be on your radio.
Yes, exactly. Right. Hey, so Brian, that story that I told you about the frat brothers that helped raise the flag at UNC Chapel Hill.
Yes, and then did the takeoff on Iwo Jima with that.
Yeah. So somebody out there created a meme of
right.
frat brothers holding up the American flag. Well, this group, and I can't remember the frat that it was, but they ended up Alpha Epsilon Pi or Phi. Is it Pi or Phi?
Phi.
Okay. Alpha Epsilon Phi ended up doing a GoFundMe after this. This fraternity's like, throw the boys a rager for protecting the American flag.
How many millions did they raise?
$500,000.
Are you kidding?
$500,000 were raised in like 3 or 4 days. I'm going to reach out. I was going to talk with you about this after the show today. I want to reach out to see if we can get them on the program.
I'm totally for that. It just, when we have, like, we have North Range and we have United Way in every week, and we talk about all these organizations that fight like hell to try to get money, but some frat boys want to throw a rager and can get 500 grand in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's just, it's an interesting world.
It 100%
isn't
it? Is. Yeah. It is. And they're like, the boys need, the boys need their Zinners and, you know, the Zimbabwes and the nicotine pouches. They're like, hey, you know. And this is what I liked on there too. And so they didn't, it wasn't going directly to the frat. They had an organizer going to all the frats on UNC Chapel Hill and say, what nonprofit in the community do you want some of this money donated to?
Oh, sweet.
So they're going to throw a rager, like zero doubt about it. But then a lot of that money is going to go into nonprofits around there. And it's just the internet's undefeated with this stuff. I don't know if you saw the Ole Miss stuff happening, but they went down to Ole Miss and Alabama and this and that. And somebody said the pro-Palestine people have to have the number one strength of schedule in the country this year after a couple of cupcakes at UCLA and Columbia. Now they're taking on Alabama, Ole Miss, and all these SEC schools. So, I mean, they are making light of it. And from what I've understood, it's died down just a little bit from some of these places. So, it's just that's what you're going to get when you get college kids doing these when you get college kids in the news, you're going to find some that you're going to shake your head at in a positive way and shake your head at in a negative way as well. But I just thought that was interesting. Over $500,000 raised onto the students' patriotism, according to the GoFundMe page.
It's amazing how what is hot and trendy for a week or so can do as far as bubbling up finance, interest, and make people celebrities.
That's exactly, you know? right. But yeah, I thought that was just something of note here as well.
No question. I got just a couple more disturbing stories from Backpage News. I don't know if you saw this. Florida man.
Ah.
No stories start that way. Miami TSA agents.
Oh, no.
What? Well, they caught a guy who was hiding snakes in his pants.
I saw this.
Did you see that story?
I did see this.
They were,
unfortunately,
little tiny snakes. They were like pink or white. Yeah. There were some very odd-looking snakes.
Yeah.
They were very small.
Yeah.
Why?
It was really awkward when they thought they had one, he had one more of them than he actually did.
Ah! Whoa! Ba-da-boom!
Really?
You went, what?
Go on.
Expected more out of that?
I thought you would have laughed at that.
I did. That was my, boom. That was my acknowledging that you had humor there. Sorry, did that hurt your throat?
It did hurt my throat.
I bet it did. Yeah, I have no idea why those snakes.
I don't know why. And stop putting them in your pants, smuggling
them
in.
Just quit bringing them. We don't need them.
No.
The other weird story. Do you see this group was out on a safari, which I've always thought would be really cool to do.
Yeah.
African safari?
No, not me. No. The wildlife's way too close.
That does not surprise me at all that you would feel that way. But there's actually footage of them out in the, you know, the Serengeti, they're riding, of two lions jumped on their vehicle.
I did, yeah.
And got busy on the roof.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yes, there was a female lion. A lioness jumped up there.
Yeah.
And then the lion jumped up there, and they're going at it on top. And you've got a tourist van full of people in there while this is going on.
Another reason not to go on a safari right there.
Okay.
The X-rated safari, I think I'm good.
I bought tickets.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm totally down for the Jungle Cruise.
9:17 the time. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. So just came across this quote to wrap up the fraternity brothers that did this. Like, we were making fun of some of the pro-Palestine, the gal that was asking for basic humanitarian need on Columbia campus.
Right.
And we said, pick who you're speaking to, or, you know, who you're going to have speaking for you. This Brendan Rosenblum said, we're supposed to be united in our political beliefs under that flag, no matter what we believe. They picked the right person to be talking.
Yeah, he was a good spokesman.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sport texting in, Unfrosted, an excellent pick. Sport, I used to have so much respect for you. And I mean used to. That movie.
Did you?
I did, 100%. Okay. Sport and I disagreed a lot, but I respected the hell out of him. It's just... This is, I don't know anymore, man.
I can't wait for the review Friday. I'm watching this today, and I think I'm going to feel the exact opposite that you do, but not to give anything away, but I think we know where Tanner's leading for Friday's review. Have you seen Unfrosted?
I have seen the reviews of it with Jerry Seinfeld, and it's an all-star cast.
Totally.
Yeah. It could go either way, honestly. I think I'll give it the benefit of the doubt and watch it, and we'll see what happens.
Do it in 30-minute increments.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit. Just pick 3 days, 30 minutes apiece. You don't, because you don't want to sit through the. Like last night, I got done with the hour and a half. And I'm like, what is that scene from Happy Gilmore? Or no, Billy Madison? I am now dumber having watched.
I award you no points. May God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, yes. That's how I felt after I got done with this.
Oh boy.
So we'll see. We'll see what you guys think. Unfrosted, the movie review. On Friday, Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range weather meteorologist in here.
Hi.
And I had high hopes when Brian picked that one as well. When I saw the cast,
I saw the previews.
You shouldn't. Codes, my friend, let's start first with Oklahoma and southern Kansas. It sounds like those are the two areas that really need to be on high alert for very serious, possible long-track tornadoes today. Yeah. Is that right?
So this is all part of the same storm system that's impacting us right now. And I'll get to the damaging winds here in a second here locally. But Yeah, if you're in places like Ponca City, Enid, Oklahoma City, you're under a high risk today. That's 5 out of 5. That's as high as it gets from the Storm Prediction Center. So all the ingredients in the atmosphere are there for long-tracked, violent tornadoes today. So I'm really praying that the capping inversion prevents thunderstorm development. But even if it did during the day, you're probably going to lose that cap when the sun goes down at night. So you're looking at best case scenario, you're fine during the day, and then you have nighttime tornadoes.
Oh, that's just terrifying, the thought of, Cody.
Yeah, and then worst case scenarios, you get storms during the day that are producing tornadoes, and then those tornadoes continue into the night. So at any scenario, try and fathom today just does not look good.
So let's talk about the cap thing real quick. And again, we're talking about Southern Kansas, Oklahoma City area.
Yeah.
I believe it. We were doing a rodeo radio one night, and you're like, you were watching it. You were doing the rodeo with us, and you said, "Oh, the cap just blew." Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah, you. I remember that vividly. Yeah. He was just looking right up there. Oh,
yep. So, in order to get, we need rising air in order to create clouds and storms, and in order for air to be able to rise freely, the air parcel needs to be warmer than its surrounding environment. So, my phone here on the table is 10 degrees, but the surrounding environment is colder. That allows this air parcel to ascend through the atmosphere without interruptions. Imagine at about 10 to 12,000 feet in the air, there's a shallow layer of air that is warmer than the air below it. So at that point, the cap, or this layer in the atmosphere that's warmer than the environment below it, will stop this parcel from rising, because now the parcel is colder than this inversion layer or the cap, and it's like putting a lid on a boiling pot of water. It can no longer go up, so it spreads out. And so one of the things we look for when we're forecasting severe thunderstorms like this is there anything that's going to prevent these storms from developing? And if you look at the forecast soundings out of Oklahoma today, there is a pretty pronounced cap at about 10 to 15,000 feet in the air. And that's because all of this moisture in the air is surging in from the Gulf of Mexico. There's a lot of warm air. It's really soupy.
I was going to say it was 50 degrees at 5 a.m. this morning here.
Yeah, yeah. But if you go out to Burlington, on the other side of the dry line, it was 65 with a dew point of 64 at 6 a.m. this morning.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That means something weird going down.
It's soupy. So the atmosphere, and another thing we like to look at too when we're forecasting severe storms is analog data. So analog data is weather that's happened in the past. And to kind of create a baseline here, when we're looking at a forecast, is there anything we can compare it to in the past? And we're starting to see analog data pop up in a lot of the technology that we use to produce forecast soundings. Like it'll populate the data automatically. When I pulled a sounding from Oklahoma City yesterday afternoon, there was 2 loose hits comparing previous weather events to May of 2003 and, of course, May 3rd, 1999. May 3rd, 1999 was the Moore Bridgewater F5 tornado that has the highest recorded wind gusts ever on Earth.
Holy cow. And where was that?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City,
yeah.
Okay.
So the Bridgewater May 3rd, 1999 tornado holds the record for the strongest recorded wind gusts ever recorded on Earth. And I believe the Dow estimated somewhere around 300 miles per hour.
And these were the only 2 loose hits that it pulled.
Yeah. So 2 loose hits on analog data, but the 2 events it's comparing it to were substantial. So
this is a more don't get mad at me for this, but this is I mean, it's really like a more calculated farmer's almanac. Hey, what has this done in the past, and what kind of correlations can we call? It's just adding more science into, hey, what has this done in years past?
Well, it's not really the farmer's almanac at all, because the farmer's almanac's not based on meteorology. Analog data is based purely on meteorology and climatology. The Farmer's Almanac says they have this secret formula that's based on astrology. It's not even like the aligning of the stars. Oh, Mercury's in retrograde. We're going to have a lot of snow this winter.
Okay, I didn't want to get down that path.
We're going to stop. We're going to press the button right there and go on to the next one.
But what does that mean for your love life?
So, I reserve my right to plead the Fifth Amendment.
Attaboy.
Well played.
Attaboy. So I want to go back and just wrap up this cap thing that we were talking about, Cody.
Yeah.
So when the warm air is going up and it's hitting that cap, it's obviously going to be gradually warming that cap as well, right? So when that cap gets to the same temperature as the warm air coming up, that's what blowing the cap is?
So good question. So when the sun heats up the ground and air parcels begin to rise, sometimes the free environment is not enough to get storms to blow the cap. That's what we call blow the cap. So you need a trigger. You need an outside force to act on these parcels to get enough energy to blow through the cap. Hmm. The dry line I just talked about this morning, if you look at observation map right now of current winds, temperature, air temperature, and dew point. As the cold front came over the mountains this morning and it caused all the damage in Colorado Springs, we'll talk about that in a second, the wind switched out of the west. That's a downsloping wind. That dries us out so fast. The dew point temperatures here along the Front Range and on the Eastern Plains are in the single digits and teens. It's dry. Like, my hands are really chapped right now. But if you go, you're really
That's
thirsty.
Weird.
Your
I have
lips
really
are dry.
Felt
yep,
that.
Yep,
like,
yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Literally, you walk outside and you feel like, I'm really dehydrated. Mm-hmm. I need a drink of water. But you go on the other side of the dry line, and I told you the dew points are in the mid-60s in Burlington, and it's just really soupy. So where that dry air and that moist air clash is on the dry line. That is a trigger. That will be the main forcing mechanism for these severe thunderstorms today in Oklahoma is going to be the dry line.
Yeah, very interesting, too, that this many warnings already out about it, and no offense, I hope all you meteorologists look very dumb and there's nothing out there, because that would be ideal. I mean, so that there is no damage or threat of life or anything like that.
The Storm Prediction Center, the National Weather Service, WFOs, all I've been doing is communicating probabilities, and I will do that again on my, I'm in the middle of making a post right now as I'm talking to you guys. I can't guarantee that there's going to be long-tracked violent tornadoes today. However, with all the uncertainty in place with the cap, with the dry line, people need to prepare as if crap is going to hit the fan today. And I pray that everything is good, all is fair in love and war, and we can all wake up tomorrow morning and be like, wow, we were really, really close and dodged a bullet there. But my gut instinct is we're not going to be having that kind of conversation tomorrow morning. So
yeah, so Southern Kansas, Oklahoma City, be aware today. 9:32 the time. Let's get a break. We're being joined in studio by Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range weather meteorologist. It's Good Morning NOCO, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. So Chris Bianchi from 9 News reporting, looks like the Mesa Lab in Boulder just gusted near 90 miles per hour a few minutes ago. We obviously don't have that strong wind going on up here. What are we seeing in the Denver Metro and then Southern Colorado?
So Cheyenne Mountain is the strongest I've seen so far at 92 miles an hour. So there's a lot of wind damage in Douglas and El Paso County. The wind was strong enough to blow over a freeway sign on I-25 at 58th Avenue this morning.
Heard about that. Yeah.
A lot of people sending me in videos and pictures of downed trees on their carports. The vehicles have been smashed by ponderosas. It's awful. I can't remember the name of the elementary school in Colorado Springs, but the power lines going into the foothills away from the elementary school are snapped like toothpicks about 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're 80 to 90 mile an hour wind gusts there easily. Up here, we're wind sheltered somewhat.
I was going to say, what's going on?
Yeah,
even yesterday, I mean, we got some of the wind later in the afternoon, but not really what I was expecting.
Well, so that was a southerly wind. We really don't get a lot of wind sheltering when winds are coming directly out of the south. So let's remember the wind event we had a few weeks ago. You get that wind directly coming out of the west off the mountains. It's a mountain. This is a classic mountain wave. The only difference between the event we had a few weeks ago and the one we had this morning is this is a cold wind, so they call it a Bora wind event. Normally, when we get winds off the mountains and it's downsloping, it should feel warm. It's a Chinook wind. No, this is a Bora wind.
And what does Chinook mean?
It's a wind coming off of the mountains.
It's an Indian term. Indian that means term. Snow
yep.
eater.
Yep, absolutely, 100%.
Well versed
yep.
around here.
Yep, thank absolutely.
You very much. I'll handle the meteorology from here, Cody.
My little potatoes make me so proud.
What that means? I can't tell you got a C+ in meteorology
Indeed.
In college.
Indeed. So this is not a snow eater wind today. This is a freeze your butt off wind today. So this is called a Bora wind. Now, what's really unique about mountain waves, we saw it a few weeks ago, we're seeing it again this morning, is you could be in one location and you're getting a 90-mile-an-hour wind gust at Rocky Flats, but you go 3 miles to the north in Erie and it's dead calm, like eerie calm.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. So what I've noticed with mountain waves is they tend to follow the canyons. Think of the wind behaving like water. It's going to follow the path of least resistance. So if you're in the opening, the tributaries, if you will, of the canyon, so Buckhorn Canyon, Owl Canyon, Coal Creek Canyon, going south into Douglas and El Paso County, the areas that are seeing the strongest wind gusts right now happen to be in or in the lee of the canyons coming out of the foothills.
Well, it's also, I mean, delaying hundreds of flights at DIA yep. here this morning as yep. well. So we'll dive into some of that as well. What is the rest of the week going to have in store for us? We'll find out next. We'll have more with Cody Wilson.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host, Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range Weather Meteorologist joining us in the studio this morning. And Codes, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like we might be a little bit warmer than what we had talked about on Friday going into this week. Am I wrong in saying that?
So what I see for the majority of the week is a west and northwest flow, which is going to keep our temperatures probably in the 60s, at least until Thursday or Friday, and then we'll start a moderating trend. And I think by the weekend we should be back into the 70s, but really no major heat waves that we could be accustomed to seeing this early on in the year. I really don't see that yet. So
pretty boring week?
No, I wouldn't say boring with all this wind going on. This is going to be around through at least tomorrow, and then it'll abate somewhat on Wednesday and going into Thursday. But this same storm system is lifting northeast. It's we can see the backside of it out of our window as we speak. Where rain and thunderstorms are falling in Wyoming and Nebraska right now near the periphery of the surface low. But this tracked too far north, and all we got was wind, unfortunately. But that's going to move into the Dakotas this week. It's going to stall. It's going to occlude, or what we call weaken. And then it's going to move back our direction and hit us again as a weaker storm around Thursday and Friday, where it could spread more showers across the region.
Any difficulty potential with Mother's Day weekend?
I don't see any major disruptions, at least for right now. Obviously, that could change. We're 5+ days away from that. But I'm not seeing anything major right now that would disrupt plans for this Mother's Day weekend. But as always, if anything changes, I'll let you know right away.
So you ready to say it yet?
Say what?
You know what. We done with snow?
Is it Mother's Day weekend?
You ready to say it yet?
Is it Mother's Day
weekend?
Come
on, weekend? You can be ahead of the game. You're seeing it. We're not going to get
Mother's
any
Day Sunday.
We're not going to get any snow this week, Cody. Otherwise, you would have said, hey, we got a chance of snurfall because you love saying that. Come on, join the dark side. Say that there's no snow. Just right here. You don't have to post it anywhere. Just say it.
No.
Brian, I knew how that was going to turn out. I'm watching Cody. He was locked in.
This is why I'm a business owner. I hate being told what to do.
But I'm right. Like, hey, blink twice if I'm right.
I've won many stare-off contests in my life.
I don't think he's blinked since May of last year.
Yeah, that's about right. But go ahead.
Okay, if you are new to Colorado, just throwing this out here, you, over the next month, need to pay attention and follow along with what Cody posts and so forth. Because we're coming up on, May 22nd was when the Windsor tornado was in 2008.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a couple of weeks from now. So that tells you that historically, this is a time of the year where we get this, okay, it's going to heat up a bit, it's going to cool off a bit, that unsettled atmosphere that can trigger these major Colorado storms.
Yep.
Yeah, and our goodness gracious, I had this thought that I was really ready to hammer home your point with, and it's gone.
It'll come back to you. But, okay.
Yes, there it is. Weld County,
yes,
third most in the country, number one.
Number one.
For the most tornadoes.
Yes,
This is shocking per capita
since 1950, Weld County holds the torch, and it's not even close.
You would think, most people would think, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, well, those two come, and Texas.
Sure, yeah. Certainly. Know? Well, I would argue that they get more violent tornadoes, certainly. And obviously,
what has to happen for something to be a, air quote, tornado?
So, oh, man. So,
I know that's deep.
No. It's there's two different kinds of tornadoes we get. There's supercell tornadoes, and then there's land spouts.
Land spouts are the little baby ones.
90% of the tornadoes we get in Colorado are land spouts, but they're still tornadoes.
Okay.
And they still produce damage. But most of the time, that's due to terrain influencing. The Rockies do be rockying, and then we get these inner twining of outflow boundaries, and we can spin up a brief land spout that lasts 15 to 30 minutes. The tornadoes you're going to see in Oklahoma today are supercell mesocyclone. Like, they come directly out of a rotating updraft. Those are the violent, long-track tornadoes that produce a ton of damage. We do not get those very often here, but Windsor is an exception to the rule. Lyman in 1990 is an exception to the rule. Hawley, Colorado is an exception to the rule. We do get supercell tornadoes here. They're just not as frequent here as they are in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Because the storm's not powerful enough because of coming off the Rockies? Is that why we don't get the supercell?
Not necessarily. In some form or fashion, we're protected from the deep moisture and instability that you need because of our elevation and because of the Rockies. Like, if you want an environment like today, let me give you just a few parameters. You need dew point temperatures in the upper 60s and low 70s.
Doesn't happen often.
It does not happen very often here. You know, let's go back to May 22nd, 2008, the Windsor tornado. So that was due to a mid-latitude cyclone, much like we're experiencing today, but the track was way different than it was today. The upper level low was actually centered right over Las Vegas. And so the surface low downstream actually set up right over Weld County. Like, you want to talk about like a once in a thousand year kind of tornado? That was the Windsor tornado. The surface low set up directly over Weld County, which is called the triple point. It's where the cold front, the warm front, and the dry line all meet up. And if you remember that morning here in Greeley.
Oh, I do. No, we were talking about it that morning. Something feels weird.
Yeah, was off. The surface winds were directly out of the east, gusting 45 miles per hour that morning.
I remember it so well.
You can literally walk out and feel the energy and be like, this, something's not right here. Yeah, yeah. It's the people that have lived here long enough and remembered that. That's exactly what it was like. How it felt here that morning is how people in Oklahoma feel right now.
So it's really,
something's off.
It's just really hard to get all three of those to converge here in northern Colorado, yeah. here in Colorado.
There's a bunch of parameters you need to produce tornadoes, but for me, the biggest ones you need are heat and moisture. You get those two, that's a lot of instability, and then all you need is a trigger, and we're off to the races. Yep.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and I think that is something that a lot of people don't think of, because we don't have the big damaging ones. We've got the land spout. Of course, there was the really photogenic little guy a couple years
Platteville.
Ago. Yeah, the Platteville one that happened. Last year, I believe it was up in Laramie, and this is where I've got to catch myself too, but I think I did verify this with you. The tornado that was up in the mountains, that is just so crazy. I am such a tornado nerd. Love watching them. I don't know what it is.
It's
terrified of them, but they are just fascinating. Why are you not going out to chase it?
Honestly, too many people. On days like today, there will be tens of thousands of people clogging up the roads trying to chase these storms. You get a lot of content creators that thrive on being the one to get the picture or the video, and they don't care who they have to crawl over or step on to get it. They don't care what kinds of rules they have to break to get it. All they care about is getting that picture or that video that the media outlets will gobble up. They'll get their 15 minutes of fame. They'll make their $10,000, and then bam, it's on to the next one. They have no regard for human life or property until they don't have a choice. So this setup reminds me a lot of El Reno. El Reno's on the west side of Oklahoma City. That was in 2013. That tornado killed 8 storm chasers. Knock on wood. If we clog up the roads and nobody has an escape route and one of these deviant tornadoes pops up and nobody can get out of the way, this is one of those scenarios where it – people could get hurt killed.
Never
and
even
I hate
thought
it.
Of that.
Yep. Well, and you got people chasing that don't understand the makeup of a tornado and how it turns and how it moves and things like that. I know there was a lot of footage that came out of the Nebraska ones. Was that just last week?
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was that it was just in such a suburban area that they were able to do that. But if you're out there in southern Kansas or Oklahoma, just be aware of the high risk for this for today, and I would assume even into tomorrow just a little bit as well. Cody Wilson, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Cody the Weather Guy podcast going to be up here in just a little bit on 1310kfk.com, Denver Front Range Weather on Facebook, Cody the Weather Guy on all other platforms. Codes, appreciate your time as always, my friend.
Thanks, fellas.
Before we let you go, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being as concerned as possible, where are you sitting with the Denver Nuggets right now?
I'm at a 10 of concern.
Yeah, so
I'm at a 4.
I mean, the Wolves, Anthony Edwards is on a whole nother planet right now. We need to get healthy and we need to stop screwing around, or it's going to be an early exit this year. Let's go Avs.
Fair enough.
Politician right there. We asked him the question, did not answer it. Well done.
You're making a habit
vote
out of
Cody.
That. Yeah, vote Cody. Or don't. Well, that's not an endorsement from us.
I will make your dreams come true.
9:53 the time, Cody. Appreciate it. We'll wrap up the show with Coach Bruce Dick next. All right, we're back in the grind of things. 8 o'clock tip-off tonight, 7:30 puck drop tomorrow, Wednesday high school baseball, Thursday Avalanche, Friday Nuggets, Saturday Avalanche, Sunday Nuggets, and we're on. We're back on the grind. Coach Bruce Dick joining us in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most smash that panic button right now with the Denver Nuggets. Where are you at?
5.
5, you're right in the middle.
Yeah.
Not just because why?
Well, I think if the Nugs win tonight, they've proven they can win in Minnesota. They didn't, you know, they split in the regular season. They had a bad shooting night earlier, and they just weren't as intense as they usually come out. And a lot of that has to do with missed shots. You make some of those early shots, those early threes, and all of a sudden that game's not 18-4. It's more like, 12-10.
Bruce, do you worry that you talk about that in this last game, that they did that. I've seen it through several in that Laker game. Are you concerned that that's becoming a trend and not just a fluke that just happened in that Minnesota game?
I think
you've
got to give the Lakers a lot more credit than people are giving the Lakers. I'm not sure the Nuggets were discombobulated or anything like that. I think the Lakers caught them a little bit by surprise because they played so much better in the postseason than they did the regular season.
When you've got a guy like Anthony Edwards, who's going to get his. Michael Malone said that. Like, this is going to sound crazy, but Ant's going to get his. Is that a viable option just to say, Anthony Edwards, if you want to go put up 70 on us? I know that's an insane number, but we're going to make these other guys feel the pain. Is that something that, as a coach, even at the high school level, that you've seen be effective before, Bruce?
It really is. You can't give him, like you said, 70, but, he's going to get his, and you got to make sure that you just don't fall asleep against the other guys and that you make them earn everything. Here's such a key, and it was early in the game the other day. You can't give them second chances.
Yeah, got out-rebounded.
You just can't give them second chances. You got to get all five guys generated in the rebound game, and they have to make that commitment that all five guys are going to go secure the ball.
Nikola Jokic can't be so perimeter-oriented again. 9 threes. I don't ever want to see Nikola Jokic take 9 threes in a basketball game ever again unless it's the All-Star game. I mean, get down there. I don't think they've got anybody who can stop him. Do they win tonight?
Yes.
I think so, too. Brian thinks they're getting swept because that's the good. We need the juju. Just say that you think the Nuggets are getting swept.
Okay, worked on the Avalanche. Yes. They're not going to win another game.
There we go. Sad. Coach, quickly, we've got about a minute left. Thank you for your mush, Brian.
Sure.
What do we got coming up on Coach Speak?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was out at the Patriot League Championships the other day in track, and we're going to have Brevin Doss on, and the sprinter from University High, well-known for his football accolades as well.
Yes.
And then CU Buff transfer Trevin Baskin, who's was in the transfer portal from Colorado Mesa and will be joining Coach Tad Boyle's squad.
That was a big get for Coach Boyle, so that'll be a fun interview. Coach Speak 10-11, whole show 11-2 today. Nuggets pregame at 7:30 tonight. For Angel Padilla, for Brian Gary, I'm Tanner Schwint. We love you, Northern Colorado. We'll be back with you on a Tuesday right here on Good Morning NoCo.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.